dairy farmers have seen low milk prices for years. And just yesterday, the nation's largest milk processor filed for bankruptcy protection. But a report from the USDA shows some positive signs, with milk production on the rise. That's leading some agriculture economists to say next year may finally bring some good economic news for the dairy industry. Bob Kropp is one of them. He's an emeritus professor in the Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. Bob, thanks for being here with us.
Well, thank you.
You know, we're closing out 2018 in just a short amount of time. How overall did this year shake out for dairy farmers?
Well, a lot better than the year we started. We'll talk about Class 3 milk. That's the base milk price farmers relate to. We were down to $13.84 in February, a terrible price. 2018 were terrible. In October, we were up to about $18.70, and I think we have a chance of maybe hitting $20 here in November and close out maybe at $19 in December. So that's a $5 increase or more, you know, so they need it, you know, because it's been 4.5 years of very low milk price, with 2018 starting out with the worst, yeah.
And do we know what's driving this increase in the price of milk?
Well, part of it is bad news in that with the low prices, we've lost a lot of dairy farmers. We lost about 691 in 2018. And as of November 1st, we've lost 714 this year, more, you know, about 8%. So milk production has slowed to less than a 1% growth. In Wisconsin, we're up about 0.4% in production. Cow numbers are down, production. And the other thing is domestic demand for cheese and butter has stayed fairly good. And exports didn't do as bad as we thought. Actually, cheese exports have held up better than we thought. Actually, have exported more cheese this year than last year. And so those combinations of things has resulted in higher milk prices.
So it is a combination of supply things and demand aspects of it.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Well, one of your colleagues used the word restorative when talking about what might be ahead for farmers this next year. Are they going to be able to dig out of the hole that they've been in these past
sure.
years with the milk prices since 2014, really?
That's right. Well, I think we'd have to say it's definitely going to be a better year than this year, higher prices average. You know, a lot derives this thing. We don't see milk production coming back real strong because farmers lost a lot of equity. These low prices take a while to recover that. Dairy replacement numbers are lower. The other thing is we had a terrible crop year, spring planting, harvesting good quality forage and that. So forage quality is not as strong, and that usually impacts production per cow. So we don't
that's
look
because
for,
that's what you're feeding the cows.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
trying to get them their proper
that's
nutrition.
Right. So they don't look for real strong growth. And we looked at exports could do a little better because world milk production, all the major exporters, European Union, New Zealand, Australia, Argentina, are all having production problems. So we don't see a big growth in world production, which opens up opportunities for us to export.
What about farmers who've taken on debt as they have had low milk prices or have really struggled? Do they need to? Are they going to pay that back before expanding or ramping up with supply?
Yeah, I think that's the case. We're not, you know, somebody's saying, well, we get higher milk prices, farmers respond. That's true. We had low prices in 2009, but by 2010, milk prices were improving, so farmers. But this long period, a lot of lost equity, so and bankers are being more cautious. The other thing is, if you're going to expand, we still have a fair amount of milk at plant capacity. So milk plants aren't necessarily looking for a whole lot more milk.
And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Bob yep. Kropp is emeritus professor in the Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we're talking about whether 2020 might be a restorative year for our dairy industry. We have to acknowledge yesterday, Dean Foods filed for bankruptcy, largest milk producer in the nation. How do different parts of the dairy, like supply chain, how are they affected by the changes in milk prices and the economics of dairy?
Yeah, well, the fluid milk business, beverage that Dean's in, has been a tough business because it's sales declined every year, fluid sales. And Walmart got into building their own milk plant and supplying their own stores, which Dean's had. So how it affects us, Dairy Farmers of America, the largest co-op, it looks like they might be buying the assets there. And the reason is they supply a lot of milk to Deans. They need the milk plants. So, you know, we got to keep it operating somewhat or else we will lose milk plants for farmers to sell the milk.
Even if that means buying it yourself and doing
it
yourself.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Is it possible then? I mean, do you see the Dairy Farmers of America being able to take that on if Deans wasn't able to keep it afloat independently?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they have to face that the growth in sales is probably not going to be there. I mean, we're just not drinking more milk. They may have to look at some new innovations, new type of products, and they criticize Deans maybe not doing enough. Fair Life is a new dairy product that came out, a beverage product by a group of dairy farmers and Select Milk, and that's going very well. Farmers looking for something. But, you know, Dairy Farmers America has looked at the fluid side more than, say, Foremost Farms in Wisconsin that got out of the fluid milk, or Land O'Lakes, greater returns on cheese. So that's a good question. You know, the returns on fluid has not been as strong as in some of the manufactured products.
Are we just seeing a change in consumer demand for milk? Do we just use it differently now?
Well, one big reason is we do not eat cold cereal for breakfast. I mean, that's a major thing. The cereal sales are down over the last decade, like 20%. Milk sales down 18%. But that's a factor. The other thing, people are drinking, you know, they go out, eat out more. That doesn't, not at home eating, affects that per capita consumption, it's age structure, et cetera. So it's a number of factors. We're not very optimistic we're going to see a big turnaround in total fluid milk sales anytime soon anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at the short term, really, and talking about whether we can see milk prices continue to climb, whether farmers can gain some stability in 2020. What about long term? What are we seeing in trends there when it comes to the dairy industry?
Well, I think in 2020, there's different opinions what price are. I'm looking at the milk prices to average more than $1 a hundredweight higher than they did this year. And, you know, averaging $7.50 to $18 for the class three, where this year it's about $16.80. So that's quite an improvement. But, you know, we don't know what exports. We got trade deals with China that got to be resolved. We don't know exactly what the weather is, et cetera. So we're not going to get over the period where milk prices will go up and down. That is just the nature we're in. It doesn't take much to change the price with relatively small change, either the production or demand. But hopefully there's some trade deals to work out. We got a new one, tentatively with Japan, could be a big one, South Korea, South Asia. So the export market could be stronger, which would be positive. But to say milk prices will never go down again, we can't say that.
Sure. We're short on time, but let's go ahead and take a call quick. Owen from Wyawega. Owen, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, good afternoon. Yes, I sure appreciate you guys taking the call. Bob, I've got a question for you. I'm a young beginning dairy farmer. I've got some replacement heifers. I've got a couple cows that are milking herd at another farm, and I've been trying to find a milk market so I could do my own labor, milk my own cows, take care of my own calves, me and my partner, Lisa. And currently we work on a larger farm, but what I'm finding is there's no milk market available to beginning American citizen dairymen. I'm watching the farms around me continue to expand, but the labor they use is completely disenfranchised and can't vote. And they're continuing to expand and basically pushing out the beginning farmer.
Right.
Is there any chance of the beginning farmer being able to come into the business?
Thanks, Owen. We appreciate your call. Bob, what do you think?
Well, it's not easy. Some cases, if you can find an existing farmer, that will take you in. And if you want to start small and not invest in a lot of machinery, say have your cows, milk the cows, have somebody do your custom work in that, and don't want all new pickup trucks and everything. There's some farmers doing it, and some are going to grazing for, you know, or organic for a little less inputs or a little higher value. So we have some farmers getting into that. And then there's some to find existing farmers looking for somebody to join them and make a deal for them to enter in. And we've seen some of that going on as well.
So there's a lot of community when you're dealing with small to medium-sized farms as opposed to the big ones where maybe we can help one another out here.
Yes. Yes. I mean, small farms, to say, we're not, have no more small farms. A lot of them are hooked up with some specialty cheese plants that have a higher value. They can pay a higher value for farmers for the milk. And so there's ways to do some of that, yes.
All right. Bob, we'll have to leave it there. A lot to watch as we move forward when it comes to the dairy industry. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you.
That was Bob Kropp, Professor Emeritus with UW-Madison's Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics. And we were talking about why some agriculture economists think that the outlook for dairy farmers is a little bit sunnier in 2020. We'll see what happens there.